Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 28th day of May, 2019, the day after the Memorial Day weekend. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and it's also the day after the European Union elections, where, for the most part at least, people seem to have had enough with not only the EU and its overreaching power grab, but the Islamic invasion, too. Sputnik's coverage, arguably less biased than the EU partners, puts it this way. The parliamentary elections were characterized by significant gains for Europe's right-wing parties as the two centrist parties, that had dominated the EU for decades, ceded their overwhelming majority in the legislature. The resounding success claimed by the League Party in Italy, the National Rally Party in France, where the socialist Macron basically lost to the not-socialist Le Pen, and the Brexit Party in the UK, Nigel Farage's group, in the just-held elections, are a sign of changes in Europe and mark the beginning of what's called a new European Renaissance. By one of the big winners, Italy's Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini, leader of the Lega, or League Party. All across the continent, it was Eurosceptic populists who seemed to not want the continued open-door immigration and Islamization that goes with it that won major gains, notably Hungary's Viktor Orban, who's vowed to shake up the EU and reaffirmed his goals to, quote, protect Christian culture in Europe as well as curb immigration. In Germany, exit polls indicated that the party of Chancellor Angela Merkel and its so-called center-left coalition partner, quote, suffered heavy losses, but perhaps not enough. A Zero Hedge piece says Merkel was so upset with the election results and her hand-chosen successor, Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, a.k.a. AKK, have now renewed her desire not to retire as planned, and she wants to hang in there till 2021. In France, in a fairly close vote, Marine Le Pen has declared victory over embattled globalist socialist Emmanuel Macron, in spite of being demonized as far-right. Where in Britain, the Brexit surge, as it's called, resulted in a brand new party battering both Labour and the Tories, winning more than 5 million votes and almost a third of the entire country. Almost 9% more than the Tories and Labour combined. But as to who the next Prime Minister will be, now that the month of May, and indeed the couple of years of May, are on the way out, and whether Brexit will ever really be allowed to happen anyway, well, you'll have to stay tuned for that one. The battle ain't over yet. And from there, given the context, I want to spend a few minutes today on a special report that I think is particularly important given all the history lately, unreported as it might be, of severe election meddling, not only by the dreaded Russians, but most particularly in the United States, where only in Florida was the elections commissioner stupid enough to get caught at it openly, but there are all kinds of indications from Arizona to California, Georgia, and many other places that there were no shortage of meddlings involved there, too. This piece comes from an investigative journalist based in Chile named Whitney Webb, who has quite an excellent history with various independent media outlets, from Global Research to the Ron Paul Institute. And it's about Microsoft. Yes, you'll hear me refer to it occasionally as Microsoft, as many of my fellow engineers in the data storage industry have long referred to it, for reasons that I've already made clear, but this article will certainly buttress. And their Election Guard program, that the story says is a Trojan horse for a military-industrial takeover of U.S. elections. I do like this quote from another investigative journalist with a long history of technical evaluation of election meddling named Yasha Levine, who says, "The fact that we're handing over the keys of American democracy," and yeah, they keep making that mistake, so sick, we'll come back to it too, "to the military-industrial complex is like giving the keys to the henhouse to a fox and saying, come on in here and take whatever you want. It's obviously dangerous," unquote. Earlier this month, it begins, tech giant Microsoft announced its solution to protect American elections from interference, which it's named Election Guard. The election technology is already set to be adopted by half of the voting machine manufacturers and some state governments for the, oh, very much soon to be manipulated 2020 general election. And though it's been heavily promoted by the waystream media over recent weeks, none of those reports have disclosed a whole bunch of stuff that this article is going to, like the fact that Election Guard has several glaring conflicts of interest that greatly undermine its claim at protecting U.S. democracy. And right there, folks, is the tip-off. Because, of course, you'd think if we wanted to protect the American form of government, it would be important that those who claim to be able to do all kinds of wonderful high-tech stuff would at least know simple things, like what the Constitution actually says the form of government we were supposed to have once was. In this investigation, it continues, Mint Press and Whitney Webb will reveal how Election Guard was developed by companies with deep ties to the U.S. defense and intelligence communities, as well as Israeli military intelligence, not to mention the fact that it's far from clear that the technology would actually prevent foreign or domestic interference with or manipulation of vote totals or other aspects of the American election systems. And all I can add to that is, ha, 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 yeah. And during the course of this, they're going to go to election forensics analyst and author Jonathan Simon, as well as a fellow I've already quoted, investigative journalist Yasha Levine, who's written extensively on how the military has long sought to weaponize public technologies, including the Internet, both of whom were consulted for their views on Election Guard, its connections to the military-industrial complex, as well as the implication of those connections for, and I'll correct it this time, the American republics. In January, they note, Mint Press published an expose that later went viral on a news rating company affiliated with Microsoft known as NewsGuard. Originally, the claim was it was going to fight fake news, but the company's many connections to U.S. intelligence, a top neocon think tank, as well as self-admitted government propagandists revealed its real intention was, in fact, to promote corporate media, with all their public-private partnerships, over independent alternatives. And NewsGuard was among the first initiatives that comprised Microsoft's so-called Defending Democracy program. Good grief. A program the tech giant created under the auspices of protecting our democratic processes from cyber-enabled interference, which they say have become a major and critical concern. Of course, what they don't admit is they're a big part of the reason. And through its partnership with Microsoft, NewsGuard has been installed in public libraries and universities throughout the country, even as private sector companies continue to avoid adopting the known-to-be-problematic browser plugin. But now they have a new element of defending democracy, one that's equally ridden with glaring conflicts of interest, and I'll quote them just this one time, that threatens American democracy in ways NewsGuard never could. Far from their claims that it might make voting, quote, more secure, more accessible, and more efficient anywhere it's used in the United States or in democratic nations around the world, well, it turns out the opposite may be true. And it's been heavily promoted as a result, your host suggests, by Waystream and U.S. government-funded media outlets, but I think they repeat themselves, in preparation for its use in the 2020, soon-to-be-manipulated general election. No doubt, I interject here, Stalin, Mao, and Castro would have loved it. And here they quote election forensic analyst and author Jonathan Simon, who wrote a book called Code Red, Computerized Elections and the War on American Democracy, sick, saying that this public relations campaign is likely just cover for far more insider control over upcoming U.S. elections. Quote, it's encouraging that after close to two decades of ignoring the security issues associated with computerized voting, suddenly there's a scramble to protect our next election, suggesting, he says, that those issues are finally being taken seriously. Unfortunately, the proposed solution is just more computerization and complexity, which translates into more control by experts and insiders, though, of course, that's not part of the PR campaign, unquote. And as to the likely identity of those insiders, the fact that Microsoft's Election Guard was developed in tandem with a private military and intelligence contractor whose only investor turns out to be the U.S. Department of Defense. It's called Galois, by the way, and the article goes into all kinds of detail about its connections from DARPA to the Office of Naval Research, but all divisions of the Department of Defense. Well, there's your first troubling clue. And as a consequence, they say Election Guard's promise to secure elections is kind of dubious, especially given that Microsoft itself is a major U.S. military contractor. And furthermore, the unfolding scandal of Israeli meddling in foreign elections adds even more fuel to that fire, as do Microsoft's growing ties to Israeli military intelligence and private cybersecurity firms about whether or not Election Guard's real purpose just might be to secure American elections for candidates friendly to the establishment. They don't say it in this story, but I will. The deep state. And what they generally refer to in this piece is the military-industrial complex, but truthfully is the military-industrial media, big tech socialist media platform, big pharma, big ag, etc., etc., etc. complex. According to an announcement made in early May by Tom Burt, Microsoft VP for Customer Security and Trust, how's that for irony? Election Guard, he says, is a free open source software development kit or SDK that will do all of those wonderful things. And it also claims that Election Guard will enable end-to-end verification of elections with open results to third-party organizations for secure validation and even allow individual voters to confirm that their votes were correctly counted. Hey, what not to love? Well, we'll get there in a minute. And while some might think Election Guard would be concerned only with electronic voting, nope. Their announcement is designed to work with systems that, quote, use paper ballots via an optical scanner. What could possibly go wrong? Well, notably, they add, Microsoft chose to announce Election Guard only after they had already partnered with, quote, major election technology suppliers who were exploring the integration of Election Guard into their voting systems. They name a whole bunch of them. Some of the names you've heard, many you haven't. But perhaps deeply troubling, the article continues, is the admission in Microsoft's announcement that their Election Guard development partner, that Portland-based cybersecurity firm called Galois, recently received $10 million in funding from Pentagon's DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, to build a demonstration system to help evaluate secure hardware for DARPA as part of a separate program. Yeah, it's okay to raise your eyebrows on that one. And as troubling as that $10 million direct investment might be, it's the other connections with the various corporate, public, private partners here that they go through in some detail that are obviously even more troubling. In addition to Galois, there's a spinoff company called Free and Fair, which also develops election technology, and it's partnered with Microsoft, as well as others. Not only DARPA, but a software developer called Verificatum, the state government of the People's Republic of Colorado, the Open Source Election Technology Institute, and others, like the Center for Democracy and Technology, a non-profit voting machine manufacturer called VotingWorks. Yeah, raise those eyebrows some more. And even states like Minnesota that have considered or are partnering actively with Microsoft's Defending Democracy program, too. It's unclear whether all of those partners have already signed on to Election Guard, however. And there's a whole lot more detail in this piece about the various, let's just say, people with interesting backgrounds that are associated with this movement, like the president and CEO of the Center for Democracy and Technology, someone called Nuala O'Connor, formerly Amazon's vice president for compliance and customer trust before becoming CDT president, but who was also former chief privacy officer, are you sitting down, for the U.S. Department of Akhtung Homeland Security and others. Yeah, they not only know what's in your wallet, but in your underwear, too. The board of the CDT also includes Deputy Intellectual Property Enforcement Coordinator for the White House under the Obama regime, Philippa Scarlett, who then went right to public-private partner Apple as principal counsel. And their advisory council includes representatives from the Rand Corporation, Walmart, Verizon, the Charles Koch Institute, to Facebook, and the American Enterprise Institute. One, it says, of the country's most notorious neocon think tanks, known for employing the likes of John Bolton and Paul Wolfowitz, among others. Well, there's a whole lot of that, but you get the picture. Aside from the numerous links to major corporations, government agencies, and neocon think tanks, of particular concern to Free and Fair's mission to develop secure election technology are its connections to none other than DHS, which, you may recall, unless you get your news from CNN or other members of the Ministries of Truth, was caught openly trying to manipulate the 2016 election, both before, during, and after. DHS was caught attempting to hack into state electoral systems in at least three states, Georgia, Indiana, and Ohio, with similar accusations being made in Kentucky and West Virginia. And if you're thinking they didn't have to hack California, Minnesota, and New York, and they wouldn't have reported it even if they had, you're probably on the same page as your host. And in Indiana's case, it's known that the DHS attempted hacks that occurred nearly 15,000 times over a 46-day period. But they weren't ashamed. And for purposes of illustration, suggests the author Webb, compare this to the alleged Russia hacking into state electoral systems, which to date includes only the claim from the ever-so-trustworthy federal bunglers of investigation that hackers alleged to be affiliated with the Russian military penetrated voter registration data in two counties in Florida, that paragon of electoral integrity. The problem is that the alleged hack and the details all remain classified, and there's no evidence whatsoever that's ever been made publicly available. But the DHS, in contrast, attempted to hack not only into the systems of individual counties, as Russia supposedly did, but clearly entire states, and even acknowledged they did so, although they prefer not to use the word hack, just like intelligence agencies don't like to hear the word spy mentioned either, especially when it comes to treason, even though that's their raison d'etre. The problem is, suggests the author, while they focus on foreign and especially Russian interference that may make for a more patriotic-sounding story, the real dangers just may be posed by domestic actors, which have at least as great a stake in the outcome of the elections, and the implications have not only been grossly underestimated, but for the most part entirely ignored by the media. And at this point, the story gets to the Russian-American investigative journalist and author of Surveillance Valley, The Secret Military History of the Internet, Yasha Levine, who explained to Mint Press why DARPA is probably so interested in U.S. election system software like Election Guard, and why that agency's interest is dangerous for American demonocracy. Quote, election systems are now being increasingly seen as a theater for warfare between competing nation states. So if you're DARPA and your reason for existence is to create high-tech weapons for the future, then you are going to be looking at electronic voting systems as a theater of war, where the country could be attacked by a foreign adversary. That explains why DARPA is involved. But DARPA and some of these companies involved can also be seen as foes of American popular will. We can, he continues, hypothesize about what's really going on and what their intentions are, but clearly the Pentagon R&D lab for war should not be anywhere near America's electoral system because it represents a huge and powerful and unaccountable force in the American political system whose interests often run counter to, say it with me folks, demonocracy. Well, let's just say the Republican form of government that, for the most part, the deep state has hated long enough that most people don't even remember why it's not democracy. Back to the quote. The fact that we're handing over the keys of American democracy to the military-industrial complex is like giving the keys to the henhouse to a fox and saying, here, come in and take whatever you want. It's obviously dangerous. Unquote. Which brings us finally to the place where the rubber really meets the road. Is it possible that the mere fact that something is called open source doesn't necessarily mean that all the data that passes through that technology isn't open to manipulation from a third party or someone on the inside? Their press release sounds good, but some of the claims within it are dubious and misleading, suggests this author, especially since Microsoft's software isn't yet, anyway, available for public examination. And as experts, including your host, would point out, even so, the fact that you can see the source code doesn't necessarily mean you trust who's compiling it. And there's this, their verifiable claim of a voter tracking system where each voter is given a unique tracking ID that allows them to, quote, follow an encrypted version of the vote, there's the rub, through the entire election process provided by a portal that they control, just might be a problem. Because Microsoft admits that once a vote is cast, quote, neither the tracker nor any data provided through the web portal can be used to reveal the contents of the vote, unquote. Meaning while a person might track whether their vote was counted, they can't tell which way it was counted, i.e. who they voted for, and whether it was correct or manipulated. They go on to say that only after the election is complete will the tracking page allow the content of the vote, well, at that point anyway, to be seen. So sorry, you and everybody you know lost, but lots of others voted the other way. But you can't know who they are. And as for the so-called verifiability component of Election Guard, they call it end-to-end verifiability. Sounds good, right? E2E-V. Well, on that score, election forensic analyst Jonathan Simon says he's not fully persuaded. Quote, pardon my skepticism, but I've read Microsoft's Good News Election Guard flyer, and it reminds me very much of the flyers and PR material long served up by the vendors and programmers of the current voting equipment, the very computers that IT experts discovered could be so readily hacked by outsiders and programmed to add, delete, or shift votes by insiders. He went on to say that right now, for example, they're hawking expensive and completely unnecessary so-called ballot marking devices, or BMDs, that turn your votes into a barcode. But it's a code that no voter can read or verify. Very slick, he says, but it's another example of non-transparency, yet another step away from public, observable vote counting, and another vector for fraud. I spent the last 17 years, said Simon, examining vote count patterns and drawing attention to a parade of egregious red flags indicative of computerized vote count manipulation. It has been a system designed for concealment, and it's about as non-transparent as a process can be. Yeah, it would be great if Microsoft was doing what they promised, but again, he does seem very skeptical. He goes on to say that what I see so far is, quote, even more complexity, encryption, that, whether it's open source or not, requires the most rarefied experts to penetrate or understand. And it's just a short step from there to full-on internet voting, which is even more convenient and about as secure as, say, Facebook. So he says, pending a demonstration showing how with perfect layperson accessible clarity, how a third party can verify vote counts without having to take on faith at least some step in the pipeline, without which individual verification that your vote was counted is a useless bell and whistle, it still feels like the same old trust us game. I'm willing to be persuaded, says Simon, but the historical context here is very cautionary. They go on to talk about what's called malleable encryption, which means you can encrypt it at both ends, but you can't prove somebody didn't change it in the middle. And when it comes to open source, there's a veneer of openness, but actually very few people have the time and the ability to look into this code. Ironically, though, it's those that have the most interest in gaming the system that are most motivated to look into it. Remember the WikiLeaks Vault 7 release? As Yasha Levine pointed out, it's American intelligence agencies, more than any other person or group, outside maybe foreign intelligence agencies, that are most interested in seeking out vulnerabilities and exploiting them. And yeah, that takes us back to the trust issue. And finally, given Microsoft's past, particularly their history of actually working with the U.S. government agencies to bypass even their own encryption, you know it, folks. It's the famous backdoor syndrome, and it was revealed by documents leaked by Ed Snowden, the fact that Microsoft actually helped NSA bypass its own encryption so the agency could decrypt all kinds of messages sent via certain Microsoft platforms, including Outlook, WebChat, Hotmail email service, and Skype. You have the fact that in 2009, and that's 10 years ago, a senior NSA official testified before Congress that Microsoft and the NSA worked together to create the Windows 7 operating system, leading some to worry that Microsoft had built in other backdoors to aid government surveillance activities. And given their ties to the military-industrial intelligence community and the fact that they're deeper than ever, all this begs the question about whether Microsoft's covert cooperation with various Big Brother agencies to the detriment of consumers is also a factor guiding their role in creating and promoting Election Guard. Gee, do you think? And finally, it's not like there aren't Big Brother agencies that couldn't hack their systems along with others, to Facebook and Google come to mind, even without their help. So let's hear the bottom line. Here's at least part of a long quote from Jonathan Simon, who said the great irony and tragedy here is that we could so easily go in the opposite direction and quickly solve all the problems of election security if we got the computers out of the voting process and were willing to collectively invest the modicum of effort needed for humans to count votes observably in public as they once did. Of course, that was back when we actually had a constitutional republic, too, when people knew that there was more to a system of government than just who gets the most votes. In other words, than just 51% of people in a demonocracy voting on what to do with the life, liberty, and property of the other 49%. Ultimately, folks, it is all about trust. And if they don't know what form of government we were supposed to have, personally, I don't trust them any further than that. Oh, and given that the EU election results, in spite of all their electronic voting, still didn't get released on time according to their own law, it's important we keep our eyes open. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.